Going to second chapter. Yeah, we're going to the second chapter of Jude. Okay, if that's the case.
Stay a little too close to the mirror this morning.
Said the wrong thing to Angel. To the moon.
What happened?
Probably
I see he got toilet paper on his face.
Yeah, he got confused and wiped his face.
Maybe this has been corrected, but I looked on the website. The last Bible study to be on there is January 15th. Whose job is it to put that on the website? Is there anybody else that can do it? All right. Huh? All right, let's go to Jude. Now, how long? Jude is the last of what's called the Catholic or universal letters. And it's, if you believe Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3, it's, well, first of all, it says in Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. But where the scriptures I just gave you in Matthew 13 and Mark 6 say that he was the brother of Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine you being the brother of the Son of God, half-brother, and you not, and you're going to write a letter expecting people to pay attention to it. It would be emblazoned all over the letter. But Jude doesn't even mention that he's the brother of Jesus, which is an astounding thing to me.
He's a servant. Does he say that?
Yeah. He doesn't even call himself an apostle or anything else. He just says a servant of Jesus Christ. Let's look at these. Let's go to Matthew. Let's just make sure. Matthew 13. Well, I turned right to it.
You're getting up there with me.
No, I haven't. I'll never be able to reach that exalted state, Ronnie.
Years of work.
Jesus had just finished a bunch of parables. And then in verse 53 it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed there. And when he was come into his own country, or his own city, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence is this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses, James, Joses, Simon, and Judas. Judas is Jude. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended at him, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house.
Were there two Judases?
There are many. Judas was as common a name as John is now.
Ronnie.
But the point of it is, Jesus had many brothers and sisters that were either from Joseph's first wife, or after his birth with Mary.
And sisters, too. So Joseph's, I didn't know he was married more than once.
Yeah, he was, it's traditional that all the ancient scriptures, writings, when they talk about it, say that that Joseph had a family, that his wife died, and that's why he was about 38 years old and Mary was about 13.
Maybe part of the reason he was looking for a living babysitter and housekeeper.
Yeah. But, and also, let's look at it in Mark 6 real quick.
I never thought of Jesus having sisters.
Me either.
I never read that before. Yeah. They always trouble me.
I always thought the Catholics just made that up.
Made what up?
That Joseph was married beforehand, already had children, because they wanted to believe that Mary was a virgin her whole life. So that Jesus' brothers and sisters couldn't think of Mary.
No, they didn't make it up, but it wasn't. They're more than likely that Mary had other children. The idea that she was a virgin her whole life is just it's a gloss on the scriptures and the writings, and they needed to prove that, and they've gone so far as to try to prove that Mary was born of a virgin also. I mean, it just gets ludicrous.
If that was the case, she would have to have defrauded her husband the whole time. That's that character.
Okay, Mark 6. It says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought it by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and son of Jude and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him." Now, go to John 5 again. Not again, but go to John 5. I mean 7.
Sorry, put the second time. John 5?
John 7.
I'm there, aren't I?
After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judah or Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And they were mocking him. And it's emphasized, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And in another place it says his family thought he was crazy. Now this is the...
So these were more than likely his brothers that were saying this.
Yeah, no, it was no question it's his brothers. It's his brethren. The word there could mean both his brothers and sisters. It was those out of the same womb. Now, the idea that some commentators say that the reason that Jude didn't mention it, that he was the brother of Jesus, or that James didn't mention it either in his epistle, was that they both were ashamed that they did not believe on him earlier. Now, if you can see this, it's because the natural is always subordinate to the spiritual. We got to keep going around, because I want you to get this, who this guy is and what the response of his family was. Go to Luke 11. In verse 27, 11:27, it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So Jesus himself denied any natural relationship with his family, except they believe on him. In other places, we could spend all day going here, but when his mother and relatives came to see him when he was speaking, and he said, They're not my brothers and sisters. They that believe on this word, these are my brothers and sisters and brethren, children, et cetera, et cetera.
It's pretty huge. People would naturally deny their relatives unless, of course, really, really bad people.
I do.
Well, but the point of it is you deny them. I mean, a lot of people, there's a lot of people who deny their relatives, relatively speaking. But the idea that Jesus would do it so openly in that society is mind-blowing.
It makes the point. It clarifies it. His body is not eternal.
Then what he did on all of the Passovers when they went to Jerusalem, all of the males that were over, that had become sons of the law, they had to go to Passover. They had to go to the three pilgrimage feasts. And so all his life, Jesus had gone to the pilgrimage feasts with his family, his natural family.
So is that like he had no emotional attachment to his father?
No, of course not.
Kind of what it sounds like.
No, it's him seeing clearly and speaking clearly what he sees. But on that third Passover, when he defined a new family, and the family became no longer that of blood, but of his blood. And so when he ate the Passover the third year with his disciples, instead of with his natural family, the ruckus that would have caused in all of Judaism and Jewry would have been mind-blowing. It would have spread like wildfire that this guy, not only did he tick everybody off in those 4 days before Passover, and everybody was yelling, crucify him, But before that, the rumor would have gone, it would have spread all over Jerusalem that he didn't even eat Passover with his family. He's totally a heretic.
You suppose that was a declaration even to himself, the finality of who he was? Because you talked about it, a lot of the things he did were just to prove himself.
No, his declaration with regard to that was his miracles. The reason that Christ healed and the reason that he is because he had to be tested or tempted with something that he knew he possessed. It wouldn't have been any temptation for, like we've talked about before, if there's no test for me to be quarterback, I mean, I can give up being quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys or even a fan of the Dallas Cowboys forever, because it's no test. I don't care. But I had to give up the ability to raise funds, to raise money. I had to give up the things that I possessed, not the things that I didn't possess. And so when he emptied himself, he had to first know that he had that power to raise people from the dead or to heal or to walk on water or to change the water into wine and all these other things those were the miracles that he had to give up. I mean, he gave up. He knew his heritage the moment he was baptized, because he knew that he had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, which meant that he, after the flesh, had to die in his baptism and be buried. And once he was baptized, he then knew who his family was. Nobody else did. But the miracles were things that he did that he knew that he had to also give up or empty himself of. And that's why Satan tempted him with all the power and all the glory of all the kingdoms of all the earth in all time. And he would have never given it over to Satan, but had he said, okay, I will now cure all sickness, there will never again be pain, there will never again be poverty. If he could have done that, but had he done that, then he would have failed the test from God's standpoint, because all he would have done would have been a miracle worker instead of the first fruit or the beginning of the new kingdom. Most people believe in the Christ that is separate from them. And that's what's so sad. So because Christ is separate from them, then they live their life, you know, and this, because that is defined their mind, the separation. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, what's sad about that is they're satisfied with that. They think that's it.
No, they're not. That's the point. They're not satisfied. But they the whole idea of the gospel, if it's preached that Christ is separate from you, then it has to produce hypocrisy, because you will believe you will have to live a certain way. This is why the preaching of the gospel is so absolutely dangerous. I've had a number of people, since I began talking about this, come up to me and see me and say, oh yeah, I tried to live that way once, but it was too dangerous. The idea that you have no right to even protect yourself, it's mind-blowing. And it, well, let's go on. Back to Jude. Jude the servant. Again, it's doulos. Bond servant. One who is fulfilled only in being the servant of someone else, without regard to their own status. I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant. I have no life. Remember that, again, that prayer that John found. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. There is nothing else. All right. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God. Sanctified. Hagiazo, which means from the word hagios, which means to set apart. For years and years and years, you know, I had sand in the salt shaker. So my thought was I was supposed to spread salt around. But then the salt shaker was filled with what it's supposed to be filled with. Then it is sanctified, holy. For years and years and years, you as a vessel have been filled with yourself. But it's not built to be filled with yourself. It's not built to have any self-concern. It's built to be filled with another. And so that's why we are sanctified. We are now filled with Him. It's in the verb tense, it's that which has a past completed action that ensures the present results. All it takes is for you to empty yourself. All it takes for you is to just keep flushing the toilet. And until you become a stench to yourself, you'll never hear me. You'll hear what I'm talking about and go outside, and 5 minutes later you'll be concerned with what somebody is or isn't doing about you or to you or for you. Is that clear? What you're going to do about this or that? Sanctified by God the Father and preserved, teriel, held firmly, guarded, watched, and kept. It's preserved. It says in, but it's better translation. It's preserved for Jesus Christ by God. We are the body of God. The body belonging to, we are the bride of Christ, made up of like-minded believers from every age and every space. That is the body of Christ, the bride. So we are preserved or kept by God. We are sanctified, set apart for that sole purpose by God. We are preserved for Jesus Christ. Go to John 17 again. How come I never get more than one verse done? Shut up. Don't answer that. And this is the Lord's Prayer. The prayer that we normally call the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer. I'm gonna read a little bit and then we'll stop. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him all power over all flesh, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto them, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word, thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now, listen carefully to the next word. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep, preserve. That's the same word that's just used. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Keep, preserve, guard, that they may be one as we are one. But you can't be one with Him unless you know you are one with Him. That sounds real simple. But as long as you believe that you are this isolated self striving to do their best, then you're not one with Him. And all He wants you to do is give up the right to yourself. But not just in word, in deed. We didn't get very far.
That reminded me just now of the covenant sanctification at the Seder. And the proof, the physical, verifiable proof, at least once a week, that there is something greater than just isolated movement.
Well, that's why it's critical that you understand, and this is maybe controversial to some, but that you understand that every time you take food in your mouth, it's to be the reminder that He is the bread of life. Every time you take drink to your lips, it's to a reminder that He alone is your worth. The bread is He alone is your sustenance and satisfaction. And that's why we are made. You can't live very long if you don't think you have any worth. That's why symbolically you can only live in reality you can only live 3 days without water. You can live 40 days without food. But that's why your worth, that you have tremendous worth to God, is so critical that you understand that you're perfect just like you are, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Because when you know you have that worth, and heaven, the gates of hell can't stand against you. Well, the last thing in verse 1 is called. And we'll get to there. We'll do that next time. Anybody have any? We didn't get one verse.
Almost
one verse. Anybody have any response? What?
I'm just looking at you.
With your mouth open?
Michael, it's best never to make direct eye contact.
With your mouth.
Somebody's not saying something.
Well, nobody is.
Thanks, I really didn't know that.
I like this clarity of seeing self for what it is, as the idea that you don't have to give it any breath whatsoever. It's just, if you see, you know, it's done. The work is finished. Even like you said, the gates of hell, that's a big deal, the gates of hell. It's already been.
The prince of the world has already been judged.
When you earlier said about your testing or whatever. And I'm saying, I'm saying to myself, you know, what is it that, you know, that I had to give up? You know, I was thinking like, you know, I really don't, you know, I really didn't, thinking like, I didn't really possess anything. But now, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm sure of a lot of stuff, you know. But, you know, I was thinking like, you know, I didn't possess anything to give up.
Well, the most valuable thing that you possess is you, and it doesn't matter what the you can do or not do. In many cases, what you have to do is you have to give up the right not to do or not to be able, or so that there's no positive or negative thoughts. It's just there's no thought about you at all. I mean, I could sit here and build your ego up by telling you what abilities you have, but that's not what this is about.
It's like you said about homeless people and their puffed upness, having absolutely nothing, and yet they still offer one damn thing. They still have all the opinions and thoughts, and they're still full of them. But they, since they don't have anything, they don't understand what you.
Or like old, you know, and as I told you so often, my mother had a rest home, and I thought for sure that people who had lived this life and seen the futility and everything, that they would certainly understand and see the emptiness of human life. I was as wrong about that as I was wrong about homeless people. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's God is called. They respond. It doesn't matter whether they're wealthy or poor or homeless or old or young. Because in reality, in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, black or white, young or old, Jew or Greek. There's only a new creation.
One of the things that I've been thinking about is one of the passages this morning, Jesus said something about He has power over flesh or authority over all flesh or something like that. When we read it, I thought, wow, what a great thing. And that must have been incredible for him when he realized that. And how cool to be able to walk through life knowing that he had power over all flesh. I wish I could be like that. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I am. I don't owe the flesh anything. I'm a debtor, but not to the flesh, to walk after the flesh. It has no claim to me.
Unless you give it claim. That's why it says you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. The word love there is the verb, agapeo. It's what you give breath to. If you give breath to yourself, then you're loving yourself more than God. It doesn't matter whether you're giving breath to self in a negative or a positive way. If you give any breath to whatever it is, it doesn't matter whether it's thou shalt love, give breath to, give importance to only the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Everything else is idolatry. Amen? All right. Take it, big guy.